Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hi. It's time for Let's Tackle It with Zach Banner. Let's Tackle It with Zach Banner is presented by JP Roofing and Siding and Tri-State Office Furniture. And brought to you in part by King's Jewelry, Morrison Kitchen and Bath, Armstrong Business Solutions, Leon's Billiards and more. Pennsylvania One Call, call 811 before you dig. And Yinzer's in the Berg. Let's Tackle It with Zach Banner. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Now we're presented by Chafin Luhana, injury law firm doing good by doing right. With Steelers offensive lineman Zach Banner for the last time this year. Zach, what's an exit interview like?
Nowadays, it's way better than what they used to be. It's your time to decompress with the coach. You know what I mean? Especially with our building. Coach Tomlin is a big face-to-face guy, so once we get past these COVID protocols, he wants to meet with us in face, in person, or over Zoom. And I'm excited. I got mine tomorrow.
Two-way conversations, or is it mostly one-sided? The coaches do all the talking.
The younger you are, it's more one-sided. As I transition into this veteran status, last year was deep. I can't imagine what this year is going to be like.
Do they do like the compliment sandwich there where it starts as like, here's a couple good things, and then they're going to throw some negative stuff in the middle, but then they're going to end it on a high note? Like, what's his game like?
That's kind of actually as smooth as it is. There's really not too much negative stuff. It's exciting, bro. It's really just talking about it's your own personal future. It's the one and only time it's not about the team. You know, the team stuff is done for this season. So going into the off season, it's kind of like just a jumping platform of what you need to do to get better and what it is that you did well and your expectations and their expectations of having you.
Would they tip their hand in terms of a free agent's future in a meeting like that? Would you have a really good read on like where you stand with them moving forward, Zach, from something like this?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the Steelers, they're very open book. They really put it out there for you and let you know what it is that your role is going to be if you were to sign with them again.
Wow. So, what are you hoping happens in your exit interview? Like, what is the thing you want to hear from Mike Tomlin?
Zach,
since it's going to be more
Bakhtiari money. That's what we're thinking for you, buddy. That's what they're going to say.
I appreciate that. I don't expect that this go around, but. I proved a lot of people right and a lot of other people wrong this year. And I've shown that I'm a starter in this league. Obviously, after this year, the 72 is eligible stuff is dead.
Which nipple
is
rubber.
Not sad. It's the nipple rubber status is
took our nipple rubber out.
Such a good soundbite.
Man, you know what sucks, Pony? Is I'm thinking about this little gimmicky thing here, and after 11, 12 years in this business, I still get called a contest winner. So Zach's doing a way better job of getting rid of that part of man.
Yeah, man. It's kind of like a cocoon, you know what I mean? Kind of figuring out my role and about to sprout out like a beautiful butterfly.
Remember
Bug's Life? Remember the caterpillar? Was that Bug's Life?
That was a Pixar film, I believe, yeah.
You're making me feel very old when you say that, though, because I'm thinking to myself, when Bug's Life came out, I was years and years past the age where that was like
targeted. You were pre-pubic hair, probably, at that point, I would think. I don't know if I can.
With his hair.
Zach, I want to ask, because there's a lot, like, the thing that's great about doing the show with you is there's all this stuff out there about, like, your future that gets put in these, like, Steeler, you know, season over, here's what's next things, and, like, you're not quoted in any of these. You know, it's not like
because I was injured this year, so you get the interview. So, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying, like, people are just, you know, weighing
a lot
in
of speculative
with, yeah,
stuff.
It's all kind of people just putting their own opinions out there and not really going right to the source. So a couple things about you. For example, people say, well, he's their left tackle for next year. He's in the conversation to slide over from right tackle to left tackle. Is that how you view yourself? Do you think you're a left tackle in this league?
I think I'm a tackle in this league. Whatever role the coaches ask me to do, I'm going to do at the highest level. But I can play both sides. I've displayed that in college for the couple games. I had the same left tackle. I was very, very blessed. This is the same left tackle and I had Chad Wheeler, who's with the Seahawks right now. We were together at SC the whole time. So I played right until he got hurt for a couple games. And I played left against TJ in Wisconsin in the Holiday Bowl. And I played against Utah as well in the notorious Juju stiff arm sideline play. You know what I mean? So I can do it. It's definitely, you know, just to understand that I have a future as a tackle in the National Football League. It's very exciting. So, but all that question right there is that's the exit interview tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Which side do you prefer to play? Tip your hand. Maybe they're listening. Obviously, and they're going to try to steer you.
No, they know. It's right. I mean, that's what I've played. And when you talk about pay, you know what I mean? You look at guys like the guy for the Eagles, Lane Johnson. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, and there's other high paid guys in Schwartz. The money's not the issue when you're an offensive tackle and you've established yourself in the league. Which I've established myself as a starter. I just need to establish myself that I deserve that kind of contract and that kind of extension. And I understand that. So basically, the prove it year last year was kind of prove it that not only can I get in the best shape of my life, but I could also play at a high level. So this year is kind of be a prove it. Can he last for the season? And I understand that, especially with the injury.
Okay, so let me just make sure I heard that right. So when other people have written or said, you know, he's going to come back to the Steelers or he's going to sign with any team, and it's only going to be a one-year deal, that's Zach Man. Banner's 2021, that it's going to be for 1 year with somebody.
None of us know that. You know what I mean? I understand, though, what it's like. And, you know, my agent, Joe Panos, is very smart. And you don't want to ball out and then in the future be underpaid. If that makes sense, you know what I mean? I don't want to make it all about money because – when we talk about the Steelers organization, I mean, I have made Pittsburgh my home. I've stayed out here all offseason for the last 3 years. And, you know, I'm kind of losing my West Coastness and I'm picking up a lot of Yinzer traits. And when it comes down to it, I love this city. I love these fans. I love everything. But at the same time, it is a business decision, which is why, like I said, I'm casual, optimistic, like staying on this radio show and doing this and finalizing it. Why? Because Pittsburgh is definitely a home of mine, and I love it here.
Zach, can you take us through to get away from the your immediate future stuff? I know that's front and center on your mind. I know you watch these games and you're into them like any more than any fan would be because those are your teammates, those are your brothers playing out there. Was there cursing? Was there throwing of objects? Because the Mueller house was kind of a surreal, silent place for the first, I don't know, 10 minutes of game action on Sunday night.
I definitely teared up. I felt for my guys.
You cried?
About breaking a window. Teared up, not cried. Teared up. I don't want everybody thinking I'm some kind of just crybaby, but it's I love this team, bro. And to see my guys not play the way they want to and to fall so short of a season that we worked so hard to make great, it was upsetting. And just like you, I was on my couch and I could see the stadium from my house. You know what I mean? And it's it was depressing. Not going to lie.
Well, hearing you answer that question about, like, you know, not a season, you know, we wanted it to be great, it wasn't, that begs, I think, a question about, like, you know, what does 12-4 in winning the AFC North really mean? If you lose at home to a division rival in the first round of the playoffs, is it still a good season?
Dude, that's anything short of a Super Bowl is not a good season. That's my mentality. That's why I fit in so well in the Berg, because it's not only the fans, but it's the team. And, you know, who's going to be the most upset is Ben, obviously, because he's been here the longest, and you want to talk about homes, you know what I mean? He literally has a castle here. And it's a lot of guys put in too much work, man, to let that season go that way. And we have a lot of guys on our team who care about this team and care about each other and want to win football games. And as much people as they want to seem like we're distracted or anything like that, I disagree. I think when the lights come on, we put our pads on and we're ready to play. But we weren't this weekend.
Zach, I feel like bummed that we're even asking you these questions, because the tone of your voice like just makes me feel bad. First off, you just sound like crestfallen. So I guess I'll go to something that I'm hoping is going better right now. How do you feel about your knee? Like how just is the rehab process for you going, of getting back after having put out all that work that you just talked about in? How do you feel physically right now?
Bro, I feel amazing. Better and better each day. If you asked me to run right now, that would be stupid.
I would never ask you to do that.
I appreciate that. You might need me, though, for one of your Korean Church League pickup in a mural game. You know what I mean? So wait till
Zach, I don't need anybody to get up and down the court. You just need to give me the rock, and then it's going in 9 straight times. You don't even need to rebound.
I got you. I'll keep score. How about that? But, what were we talking about? What was the question? The question
was
the knee.
How are you
knee's
feeling,
awesome.
Man? Just how are you
knee's
feeling?
Awesome.
How's your physical confidence?
You think you'll be ready
knee's
week
awesome.
One?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I strongly feel that way. I mean, the blessing of getting injured in week one this year at the end of that game was it gave me time. When we get cooking, I'll be there cooking with them. So, you know, whether that's an OTAs, I don't think it's going to be too much of physical practice and stuff, because we want that knee to really mature. But how they described it is when they do that kind of that graft in the ACL or whatever it is, you know, it's a brand new bone. So, yeah. You know, my strength coach, Guy, was talking to me about it, and he was like, bro, you have an 11-year-old knee right now. And by the time it, you know what I mean, we work it, we strengthen it, we age it, you know, it's going to be a 19 to 21-year-old league and – or 21-year-old knee, and that's right around when guys start playing in the league, so you'll be just fine. And one time, you know, they describe it to me, not only will it be stronger, but moving forward, you know, there's going to be that one play in the first game where I'm going to get rolled up, and I'm going to be like, oh, man, what was that? I'm going to get right back up, and I'm going to be like, oh, it's okay. And then you get used to it, you get, you know what I mean? But I promise you guys, I'm going to work my ass off this offseason when it comes to not only being in physical shape and conditioning my knee,
yeah,
but to also work a lot of individual work and be ready to play, man. Be ready to play tackle.
I would think if I had options on the table in an offseason, you probably will, that like who I went to work with or who I was working for would matter. And you've already said that working for the Steelers is something you like to do and want to continue to do, and working in this city is something that you'd like to do and continue to do. But also, I would think who am I going to play with would be, if all things are close to being equal, Zach, would be a consideration too. Teammates, other offensive linemen, maybe guys you went to college with that are on the Steelers, or guys that you've gotten to know and become friends with that are on the Steelers. So
good way of mentioning people without saying their names, by the way. That's awesome. There's only two Trojans in the team. Go
but
ahead.
Is that, am I overestimating or overvaluing that in terms of where it fits in your decision-making process?
When you talk about decision-making process, especially for me as an offensive lineman, who I play with definitely does matter. But you know, when you go into the question of who's going to be on our O-line next year with the Steelers, who's going to be on other ones, like, you talk about the ballers that we do have and the camaraderie that I, like, just, they're my bros. Like, we hang out. We do things off the field.
Yeah, but if it's like that scene in Sandlot and all of a sudden they're gone and you're just standing there by yourself, I mean, that kind of sucks.
I wouldn't say that. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say that because there's a lot of great players, bro. And especially if you're talking about us losing guys in free agency, that's part of the process. It's an individual decision when it comes in the offseason. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's you sign with an organization as a whole. You don't just sign with an O-line. You don't just make a decision to go run to the money right away, because it's one of those things where you have to feel a room and you have to feel the personality of a team, and the Steelers is definitely at the top of that list.
Well, how much? That's interesting that you could talk about feeling the room, the personality. Like, how much of a consideration is that for you when you're making these decisions? Is the comfort factor and the familiarity factor with one franchise that you're with that you kind of broke through with and took advantage of your shot with versus somewhere else?
Yeah, I think I've put enough on tape to show that I'm an asset to organizations. But it ultimately comes down to, and not in this order, but to obviously how much you're signing for, how long that deal is, and what it is that the role that you have with that team. And I'm the starting right tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Why wouldn't that be at the top?
How many people are involved in the exit interview? I remember a player told me once that his exit interview involved an assistant coach that was eating a ham sandwich the entire time, and that made him a little uneasy because there were other people in there, and some of them didn't seem all that interested in what was actually being talked about. So is it one-on-one?
I'm guessing that player is not – in the league anymore?
He's not with the team anymore, no.
Oh, yeah. I think it's definitely about, you know, the priority in the organization, obviously. But the Steelers are different, especially if you're a free agent. You're supposed to meet with the head coach, the GM, and then your position coach. And I have a couple more meetings, so that'll probably be deep tomorrow.
Man. Is a ham sandwich the most disrespectful thing somebody could be eating in one of those situations? Like, what else could they be doing? Like, if somebody's eating a chili dog.
Right. Yeah. I just feel like there's a different time where you could eat. You know what I mean? But if you're getting brought into the assistant coach's office during his lunch, it's not a good sign.
All right,
bring your playbook and a napkin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Hey, and then also, can you also bring the hot sauce? I left it downstairs.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text on Edgar Snyder. Reminds you to text responsibly. You interned for Cowherd or you worked for Cowherd? Which one was it? Was it both?
It was a paid internship.
Ooh, okay. Big time.
Absolutely.
I want to, because of that, because you know him, I want to play something that he said, and I want you, as his former employee, to respond to it. We'll play that game coming up next. With Zach Banner on Let's Tackle It.
Powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Experience the power of Bowser at Bowser Chevrolet.
I look up and I see our good friend Pierre McGuire interviewing Sidney Crosby right now, minutes away from faceoff. Penguins opener, NHL opener. No Kasperi Kapanen, still not ready to play, so it's Evan Rodriguez on a line with Crosby and Gensel. Tristan Jarry in net, ready to take on the Flyers in Philadelphia. That's your headline. Let's tackle it with Zach Banner. It is 5:24. Time to call Senderovich, and Fishman. Call 888-98-TWINS. Zach, would you say that Steelers players are starting to hate the Browns the same way Penguins players hate the Flyers?
I think the hate is mutual. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh.
man, I'm going to ask a question and I don't know how I'm putting you on the spot. I got to be honest, whenever like anyone on the team gets criticized for the social media stuff or the bulletin board material, I generally, Zach, am completely on their side because I think bulletin board material is more irrelevant than people want to believe it is. And so I just don't care. The one thing that I've got to say I felt like was a bad look just from a competitor standpoint is when Chase Claypool said, "Oh, don't worry, the Browns are going to get clapped by the Chiefs next week." Like, dude, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Like, I got to be honest with you, man. That sounds real weak to me. We couldn't get it done, but don't worry, the big bad bully's going to take care of them. That's not what I wanted to hear.
Rookie mistake.
from a Fighting Irishman. Is it Irishman?
I was going to say, I should have known that maybe you'd be more willing to say that about a guy who went to Notre Dame than other schools.
When you're talking about one guy from the Fighting Irish, do you put Fighting Irishmen on the end of it? I don't even know how that...
They're a large school, man, but they're definitely in a small town. Large market, but definitely in a small town, if that is a town, if it's big enough to be called a town.
South Bend.
But so when you get to a city like Pittsburgh and stuff, and you're able to do social media and stuff, you're going to slip up. And that's his fault, because now he has to go make plays in Cleveland every year when they're booing him through their trash bags.
Zach, just in general, like if you slipped up and did something like that, right? Like you're so, you know, profoundly good at. Yeah, that would never happen with you.
I know, it's a tough hypothetical. It's like asking me, Chris, if you were dunking a basketball one day.
But if you did that, right?
Yeah.
Who would you expect to hear from? Like the right guard, the guy next to you, your offensive line coach, your head coach, like
best friend on the team.
Yeah, like how when is there?
I don't know. Is that like? I just feel like it's just. Maybe Bert, our head guy. Probably Bert.
Your media relations coordinator.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That along with the come to the coach's office on lunch hour is another call you don't want to be getting,
yeah,
right?
That's definitely right there next to the ham sandwich.
Zach, have you ever had any of those moments where, hey, it's Bert here. Zach, why are you?
Oh, crap.
Why did you say that with Pony and Muller? Or, hey, Zach, you don't have to give us all the details of it, but. Is that no?
Nah.
Again, you're way,
you guys know
you're way better than
too.
That. All right, so
way better.
This fits right in with Cowherd then, because you know Cowherd better than all of us.
Yes.
How many months were you with him?
Oh, how many years? What do you mean?
Oh, years.
Years.
Yeah. I graduated in 3 years because just in case I left early and then I decided to stay. But my sophomore through senior year, every off season, between when is the end of semester? You guys went to semester schools, right? When were finals?
Finals
late
for us
late
were
April.
Yeah, late April.
Yeah, April. Right. So like maybe like April, right after finals, all the way through until camp.
So you were around him
I'll
that
take
much.
A month
Did you
off.
Have to Did you have to like decompress from like being around him, or else you would describe like the simplest activity with like a 10-minute analogy?
Bro, he's actually like one of the coolest people to be around.
No, I know that. I've heard like good things about him off the air, and I respect him on the air. But like sometimes he comes out of left field with stuff that just leaves me like with my jaw open because of how ridiculous it is.
Just his energy, his vibe. He's definitely, he's from Seattle, so we're both hometown kids, and he's actually a huge SC fan, and he loves LA, which is why he left Bristol, went out to there, signed with Fox, obviously had a lot of money. But he definitely fits in with that Southern California personality, where not only Hollywood, but also just like, does he take Adderall? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like often, for sure.
Before I get to his comments on the Steelers and give you an opportunity to react and go after your old boss, listener texts in and says, Zach, other than you, who is the Steeler in that locker room right now who would do the best talk show?
Best talk show?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be sports.
Can I think about
Ben
that?
Ben did a pretty damn good one
that?
For a long time.
Yeah, you can think about it. We'll get back to it.
Let me think about that.
What if he said? What Both if he just said time. Claypool right off the bat here? That would be the best answer. Just immediately. Yeah,
no,
Chase
he
Claypool.
Definitely. No, he needs off-season training after that. That was just.
All right.
That's an off-season. He needs
you've
got
to get in. You've got to get in the hot take weight room, Chase. So, you've got to do three angry takes about the team, followed by a superset.
All right. So along those
Vince
lines,
Williams.
Here's
That's
yes.
my answer.
Vince
Williams.
I could see that. I could see that.
Are you kidding me? Do you know how like awesome that would be?
No, Vince I could. I'm dead serious.
Williams.
I agree with you. Everything I hear is that he would be awesome.
Does
in
he
that
still?
Capacity.
Does he still?
Vince Williams.
Does he still go by Vince? Does he? Is that?
No, the bees. That's
yeah.
such an old.
That's done.
Person thing. Yeah, that's okay. done. That was like cool.
He started
like,
playing so
guys.
Well, we had to ditch calling him that because Pony loved calling him Vince, and then he started to just like kick. all kinds of ass, and we were like,
I retired Vince.
I think we got to go back to Vince because he's doing so well.
I had to put respect on
his
name.
So well.
Yeah, all right, here's Cowherd on your team.
Like, I understand when you're young and you have money and you're talented, you're good looking, you get a little cocky. But, you know, after you lose a game and get humiliated, you should be marginally humble. I saw Chase Claypool, great receiver for the Steelers, took to TikTok Live on Monday following his team's drubbing to Cleveland. He said, bad loss, but the Browns are going to get clapped next week anyway, so it's all good. Pittsburgh's starting to wear me out. All the TikTok stars, trash talking after you get humiliated. Listen, Le'Veon Bell left. You're still noisy. Antonio Brown left. You're still noisy. Like, some of this is Big Ben. Maybe some of it's the culture created by Mike Tomlin. All the guys that were reportedly the problem have left, and you still have the best TikTok ensemble in the NFL. I don't know. There's a lot of big NFL brands right now where the brand is way better than the quality of football. The Cowboys, the Steelers, the Bears, the Eagles. The brand is bigger than a reality. And things are not going to change unless you remove the people who appear to be accepting this behavior. This is now just an underachieving, noisy franchise that lacks maturity, always wants to blame the last guy they kicked out of the town. Cleveland rolled you. Just stop talking. If you won, say what you want. It's not really the time.
All right, Zach, you want to rebuttal that at all?
My rebuttal will be a fine smoked cigar one day when we win. Until then, I'm gonna let him talk.
Do you have TikTok, by the way? Are you on TikTok?
Actually, I do have a TikTok. I did one because my manager asked me to when we were in Guam with these like little young kids. But I don't even have it on my phone.
I don't get the appeal of it.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Craig, you have TikTok? Sure.
I do, actually.
And what do you find on it?
What's the point of it?
There's a lot of like interesting videos on it, and I mean, no offense to Zach and the Steelers. I mean, I gotta watch to keep up now.
How is it any different than Twitter videos? I don't understand.
Or Instagram Lives or whatever they're called.
Yeah, it's not, I feel so stupid.
It's not, but people are sort of adopting that and moving away from those. So if you want to find this stuff, you got to go there.
Okay, so this is no different than like fashion trends for tweens, where it's Abercrombie or American
Eagle. Yeah, it's the latest hot app.
So you think like 3 years from now, if I want to find out like what happened with the Steelers, I'm going to have to follow Adam Schefter on TikTok? Like that's, you're thinking that day's coming?
No way.
No, it's too different than Twitter. It's more of a replacement for Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like fun videos.
Yeah,
the wife definitely
forever,
has to have TikTok, right, Pony?
What's that?
The wife definitely has to have TikTok.
I don't think
sure.
she does.
All the way.
And if she does, she doesn't tell me about it, and she's on there and, you know, doing whatever she wants. man, the culture stuff is, like, when you're just one of 53 guys – and you hear people on the outside say a team's culture sucks. Like, do you take umbrage with that? Like, do you take that personally, Zach? Are you like, you know what?
Yeah.
That's not my job to instill a culture. It's the coaches and the people that are.
No. It's definitely on us, but just people outside the room, I just tend not to listen to because they don't get our locker room. Only people that get our locker room is us. That's why the only thing you can do is like leave a sarcastic video one day on Twitter and embarrass him, you know what I mean? And then he'll text me and say good one, or he'll probably tweet back, you know, just like I do with you guys.
Yeah. What is good culture in a locker room? Like, what would you say is, like when you're in a room, I know it when I see it, this is good football culture.
Our personality that we had, but winning games. We got to finish games, man.
Like, so is culture really something that's a byproduct only of what the result of the game is? Because that's why I always say that team chemistry is complete crap. Like, Barry Bonds almost willed a team to a World Series, and he and the other best player on the team wanted to fist fight each other every day. So is team chemistry, culture, all that stuff solely based on whether you win or not?
Ours is, for sure, just because of the veteran group that we have. I feel like across the NFL, you know, especially if you get a young organization that makes the playoffs, they definitely show like excitement about that. You know what I mean? And like things like that. But when it comes to like Pittsburgh, we all know the story.
Was anybody else taken aback by the report that Kevin Stefanski only had a 60-inch TV in his basement? When I saw that, I'm like, this guy is an NFL head coach and he's
That's
watching
a pretty big TV, Pony.
I mean, I've got him beat right. I've got him beat right now.
So
I've got
do
an
I.
85
I've got a 75.
TV in the basement.
You're even better than me. There you go.
Yeah, I got the 75 right here too. But 60 is like not that small of a monitor.
For an NFL
Depends
head coach
on how far away
who's
he's
being held hostage by the COVID stuff and can't actually coach
Hold on,
his team.
Pony, did you hear the worst part about this, though, his TV setup? Somehow his kids were 45 seconds ahead of him upstairs, so he got the game ruined for him. He would hear them jumping up and – dude, he said in an interview that he heard them jumping up and down right away and therefore knew that the first play of the game something good had happened for the Browns.
I think I'll live another 50 years and never see the Steelers start a game like that again. I can't.
I know this is our job, but this is so painful.
To relive this stuff?
Absolutely.
I mean, the fact that it happened with Malcolm Smith on the other side, the only other guy I can imagine who has had that happen in another game to him where
yeah,
a team
that's
snapped
right.
the
Seahawks,
ball over
Broncos.
The quarterback's head. Yes, yep. That's how the Super Bowl started. The only difference was what? They ended up going out of the end zone for a safety?
Chris, if I asked you 10 times to snap the ball back to Ben Roethlisberger out of the shotgun, and you're not concerned about blocking the guy once the ball is snapped, you just have to deliver a snap ball to a quarterback. How many
so
times
I don't have to worry about
10,
getting my head crushed?
How many times out of 10 do you think you accurately deliver a ball to Roethlisberger?
Accurately meaning he just catches it without yep. – he catches the ball? Man, I'd like to believe at least 7 or 8. I mean,
you guys just totally minimized like football, by the way. Like that's
no,
I'm not gonna like.
But he took away Zach.
Like you
Zach,
guys
he took
like
away
literally
all the football
said,
parts.
I didn't answer the question.
All the
it's
football.
The
center. Don't... Like you're snapping. Like that's part of the thing. Like that's I could never.
I know, but he said I'm not worried about getting like my head caved in by a defensive tackle right after that. So if I'm just in a vacuum,
exactly.
I'm snapping the ball.
Exactly.
And
like you're in
nothing
the
happens after
wife
that.
Or something like what.
That's like that's what I'm envisioning. That's what I'm envisioning,
like
though, is what he's describing. Like I'm playing with my kid.
How many times do you think you could snap it back to a punter like that, Chris?
Zero, dude. I've tried that long snapping thing, man. That is very difficult in my
When
opinion.
You talk about someone's core strength and then also like being able to chuck a ball through your legs backwards and like how much strength you have in your arms and back. I mean, that's why
with
they
a
all
spiral,
look like
a nice spiral on it, dude.
Yeah, that's why they all look like super jet. Like, have you ever realized like specialists themselves are probably like the most out of shape people in sports, and that's because their jobs are so minimal. But but I will say this: the most athletic is always the long snapper. Always.
I would like to watch. I would do a reality show where it's like. It's like one of those pros versus Joes, but it's like tough bro types at the bar who think they can beat up a long snapper, and then you just watch the long snapper like lay waste to these guys. That would be a show I would watch.
Who's the most low key intimidating guy in that Steelers locker room, Zach? Not like Vince Williams,
probably.
Whose eyes are bugging out of his head and looks like he's ready to like. You know,
no pun intended, but probably our long snapper Cam Canada. Have you ever seen how jacked he is? Look him up on the dude. Spent this whole offseason just getting yoked up. We had a lot of jokes. He's definitely passing the piss test, but that's definitely a joke. For
Pony,
sure.
Do you remember? Speaking of specialists, the most feared man on the Pitt football roster for his entire time there, I think, was their punter Dave Brightus years ago. He was like 6'5", 240, and a martial arts expert.
Oh yeah.
And every guy to a man said, if we all had a fight in here, Brightus is walking out the winner.
Zach, do you think you'll even watch the games this weekend?
No, brother. I think I've already told you guys this, but I watch soccer.
Yep.
Like heavily, I will watch more. English Premier League.
Wait,
I'll watch Manchester United.
He's a man you got.
United.
Oh, that's right.
United.
So you got to
sure.
be. Didn't Liverpool like barely beat Aston Villa's kids team?
We just took first in EPL, brother. For the first time since Saf was a coach, was a manager.
Yeah, I don't get the context of that whatsoever, but
I know it's like your Wayne Rooney. I know your Wayne Rooney's. Who was the dude back in the day? Eric Cantona way back when they all wore like baggy polo
Cantona.
Shirts.
Cantona, yes.
Cantona? That's yes. Okay. Close Cantona. Enough. I mean, I said
RVP,
I knew the name.
Craig, these names ringing a bell for you?
Not a one.
I didn't think so.
See, Zach knows now that I'm a man of culture because I was throwing out some like 1997 era Man U names.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Wexner, North Huntington, and Uniontown. Coming up, we'll ask Zach for his 2 cents on the Bitcoin guy. because that story is just everything to me right now. It's actually, I've been distracted by it the entire show.
Now, Fan Headlines, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Experience the power of Bowser at Bowser Chevrolet.
7 minutes in, the Penguins lead the Flyers 1-0 in the first NHL game of the season. One of 56 scheduled. Penguins playing only teams inside the division. And it starts with arch rival Philly, Mark Jankowski, a goal from in front. Penguins' third line gets the first tally of the game, his first goal as a Penguin. And the Penguins are on the power play right now, 20 seconds left, and leading the Flyers 1-0. Headlines. Looking up at another headline, Jared Valdir, who played for the Colts on the offensive line last week and then was signed by the Packers and was set to become the first player in NFL history to play for two different teams in the playoffs, just went on the COVID-19 list. Can you imagine that, Zach, playing for the Steelers in the wild card round and then you're with the Chiefs next week? Like, that's just...
how do you get the playbook?
That just blew my mind when I saw that he was eligible to play for two teams.
Props to him.
The one that would be funny to me, and I guess this wouldn't matter, like, what division, what if somehow you had gotten beaten by the Browns and then they picked you up for their next game? Like, how on earth would that work, man? You had just talked trash on one of these dudes, and then you're like, hey, I hope we can win it all here together. Thanks, man.
Right.
Zach, have you heard about Bitcoin guy?
No. What is this?
Craig, tell Zach
about Russell Okung.
No. Tell Zach about Bitcoin guy, Craig.
All right, Zach. So here's the deal. This guy has $220 million in Bitcoin, right?
Oh, my God.
He had 10 attempts at remembering his password and is down to the final two with no idea what his password is. And if he gets these two wrong, he's locked out forever.
Yeah, that is the DA of the year for sure. 2021 just started, and he already won the title. Is there a show for it? Like, are they like going to make like a TV show out of it? Like every time he like tries.
Great minds think alike, Zach. I said that I would watch that if it was like made for television. He tried. It would be like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, except for way more money and with way more suspense.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
But you have to. Here's what would make it even better. Somebody out there actually knows the password, but he only can do, like, phone a friend or lifeline. Like, it's one of these four passwords.
Okay, let me ask you guys this question. Let's say you had the password, and now you're saying, I'll give it to you, but you need to give me a cut of the $225 million. How much would you ask for? What is a reasonable amount?
25%.
I agree with that, actually. I was going to say $55 million or whatever's 25%. I agree with that completely.
See, I think you can ask for more. I think you could ask for...
Oh, you can hold him hostage and say... You can hold him practically hostage, man. But, like, I would just say I didn't have the foresight to think of Bitcoin
investment. I would give him 25% and take 7... I would say...
Oh, jeez.
You could ask him for 219 of the 220 and tell him, you know what? Good luck guessing those two passwords.
I think, though, if that's the kind of hardball you played with me at that point, if all I stand to gain is $1 million, I would just try two. I would just try my next two passwords. I wonder.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't push him too much because then he might just say, screw it, and you're left with nothing.
Wouldn't you love to see the list of what his first eight password entries look like? And how close each submission is. Like, one, he did it in all lowercase letters, and then the next one had the first letter capitalized.
What if the password's basic premise is something embarrassing and he knows that, like, he could put it out there and people might be able to help him, but it would be very embarrassing to see what he made his password?
See, I think it would
like
be...
Like, it's that old commercial, that voice-activated product commercial where the guy has to go, say, big boy.
I would absolutely, like, wear it. If, like, public perception was you're a tool, you're a loser, but they helped me get $225 million, I am perfectly fine with that trade-off. I don't care what you think of me if I'm, you know, and I've got an extra $225 million in the bank, which is like, what, half of Patrick Mahomes' contract? He's like laughing at this right
now.
Yeah,
exactly. Peasants.
Exactly. Zach, what are some of your this is going to get deep here. Like, what are some of your final thoughts on, you know, your 2020 football season that was on the field very short-lived, unfortunately, but big picture for you, what's your biggest
takeaway? Big picture, I've never felt more comfortable going into an off-season ever. So, I mean,
how do you usually feel right now? Like, how, comparing it to, like, how do you usually feel, like, on a day like this?
Bro, I'm blessed, man. Like, the last years, like, it just gets better and better. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I know what it's like to be in a room. Like, you know, for example, like, my exit interview for Cleveland was with my O-line coach. Like, that was it. You know what I mean? And he was like, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with the staff. Like, very, very close to the ham sandwich category. But when you fast forward to the next year of me being in the active 53 and the coaches wanted to develop me, you know, then that was promising because then I knew I was going to come back the next year. And then I was like one of the first couple guys signed. I think me and Danger were like signed the next day. We didn't make the playoffs. And then obviously this last year, signing for some more money and things like that for a 1 year, it's exciting. And I'm optimistic about tomorrow's interview for sure.
Zach, who's the guy that bet on you? Like, do you know inside the Steelers organization the person that was like, go get this guy off of Cleveland?
Coach Tomlin.
Really?
Coach Munch is the one that went and got me. And Coach Tomlin was in full support of it. Like I was actually, like, they tell me this all the time, like the strength coach and everybody, like, I was actually like on the Steelers draft board the year that I got drafted, which is why it's kind of such a blessing to get picked up by a team that has really, like, you know, given me a lot of opportunity. Like, I'm extremely grateful for this organization and the guys that are to deserve the credit are definitely Coach Tomlin and Coach Munch.
What did Munchak say that he, like, what did he like about you? Do you know? Like, have you
just ever... the size and the, this man, I played really well. I'm trying not to sound cocky at SC, but I had a weight problem, bro. And that was the biggest thing about getting it figured out. Sometimes I look back and, you know, what if I didn't have that and what, you know, where I would have gotten drafted if I would have definitely managed my weight better. But you can't because, like, you need the story. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, I needed that fight.
What is Zach Banner? What are we talking to Zach Banner this time in 2021? Do you think? Like, are we on this radio station, the two of us goofballs, still like asking you about Bitcoin and stuff like that?
Oh, God. I think my honest prediction is, I think we're gonna have another great feeling this time of the year, and hopefully this time we'll still be playing.
Yeah. I am fascinated by how you are so freely, like, open in a, like, okay, transparent on the fact that you said you had an eating problem, a weight problem. I like, that can't be, was that a hard thing for you to confront? Zach, I know you told me the story once, like, with the Colts where they sat you down and basically said in an interview, like, this is why we're cutting you. But you're saying it was embarrassing, but it's obviously not anymore because you feel confident enough and honest enough to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I've beaten it, you know what I mean? And it's something like, it's just, that whole process is a blessing in disguise because it helped get me here to Pittsburgh, if that makes sense. And I honestly don't ever want to trash an organization, but understand how I feel about this when I say this. Mm-hmm. Like, I fit into Pittsburgh more than I did in Indy and with that personality of that team. But then again, that whole coaching staff got fired. You know what I mean? And Chris Ballard is definitely a competitor, their general manager. And they definitely have a great staff. Obviously, they picked things up and made a hell of a playoff run. But this organization and this personality, like I said, it's just crazy what ways and what paths it took to get here. Because I'm happy. I'm the most happiest I've ever been in my life.
Well, hopefully part of that is talking to us once a week during the season.
That's a perk.
That's why I left that open there, because I knew that Mueller was going to say something like that. Zach.
I had a guy just text me, Pony. I'm just going to bring this up. One of his children came up, he said, from the playroom and said to his other child, "Big surprise, Dad is listening to Chris Butler and Andrew Filippipi." So that's stuff that we're getting from devoted listeners, that their children are sick of us, of their parents listening to us, by the way. I just thought I'd share that with
you. Put
that
on a promo. Zach, I know other people that battled weight issues, and it's incredible sometimes to hear them talk about, like, they could actually pinpoint what would set those type of, like, binge eating thing. I don't know, is that what you would call yourself? Like, you were like a binge eater, or like what?
If we were celebrating, I was eating. If I was upset, I was eating. You know what I'm saying? Like, comfort. What is it that you find most comforting? Like what is it for you, Pony?
Honestly, it's like sitting down and binging on sports, as depressing as that sounds. Like not leaving my couch and watching from like noon till midnight, which is excessive in like that's compulsive behavior.
Man, I don't know, Zach. Like I can relate to what you're saying there, though. Like eating out of either boredom, celebratory, anything, just eating my feelings. I definitely can relate to that.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's not something that I ever really thought about, and I dominated at a college level.
Yeah.
And there were people in my ears, there were coaches that were definitely saying it, but it's binge eating is definitely just like, it is something that you have to beat and control. You know what I mean?
Like, was it cold turkey? Like you had that conversation, you knew that you had to change, and you were able to do that just through sheer like mind over matter, like willpower. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It's also the support of the team, the organization that I have coming in here. I don't want to seek comfort, and I don't want to act like, you know what I mean? I'm a person who needs to be babysat, but I'm definitely a person who will run through a wall if you give me a role and you give me a part of a team and you welcome me into your family and you give me an opportunity to prove it. And that was just kind of the vibes over here. Like, I would die for my guys on my line. And whether it was Pounce, whether it was the strength coach Gee, whether it was Coach Tomlin, whether it was my O-line coach, they just all told me, like, you have the potential to do this. What do you want to do?
What's something fun you're going to do?
I'll tell you what, you sound like a dude who had Mike Tomlin as a head coach for a while when the first words out of your mouth in that answer were, "I'm not a guy to seek comfort."
Yeah, I would agree with
that. That sounds like Mike Tomlin has rubbed off on you as a coach.
I wish you guys were able to. I guess we have to put it on a bulletin board, especially after last week, of all of what Coach Tomlin says and all his things, because apparently nameless gray faces was a very unknown term a week ago, but I'm not going to talk about that.
Oh, no, we knew it. We knew it. We knew it was a term. Yeah, we just were surprised to see it applied in that context.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What's something fun you're going to do this offseason other than, you know, attack rehab and all the work stuff? Like, what's something that you want to do that gives you like maybe a break from your job?
I'm gonna go back to LA for three weeks to a month, and then go back home to Seattle for 3 weeks to a month. Very excited about that. But predominantly, most of my off season is gonna be where I'm doing my training and rehab. So that's out here as of now.
Is that monotonous? Because Andrew Luck was so vocal about how he thought that part of football sucked when he retired. Like, the rehab thing just wears on
you. Definitely, like, with the – but it's just –
I got to imagine for you, though, Zach, isn't it easier when you're chasing that first big deal to have that carrot in front of you? Like, Andrew Luck got paid. Like, he made his money. I could almost understand. Like, yeah, I've made enough. I'm not a dude that spends it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those type of things. Like, I'm chasing a dream. I'm chasing a check. So what is fun for me is waking up at 4 a.m. every day and kicking tail. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's dominating the day and then dominating FIFA when I'm done. That's what I'm excited about, honestly.
Andrew Luck, as an aside, is one of those guys that had a beard that connected right into his chest hair.
Yeah, it's like called a neck beard. Like, yeah, it's a neck beard.
It never stopped. Yeah. It was just a bridge.
Maybe you can make like a donation to Mueller. you think?
He could take his neck beard and Mueller just wears it as a do-rag.
Right. Like a
hair graft. It's like a hair graft right into my power alleys. We could put his neck hair and then I would be in good
shape.
Hey,
you know what, Zach? I think Tomlin needs one of those now too. Because he used to have this year he
Pony, this is tough. He's got his exit interview tomorrow. I don't know if you want to say this right now on the off chance.
What is under the
listening mask,
Coach T? Show us. Lift your Gator mask.
But
that sleeve he wears.
He let the sides and back grow in a little bit when he talked today, and you could tell he doesn't have much left on top like our buddy Chris.
Oh, hey, you're talking about on top of his head. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. He's.
It'll be rocking.
As a result of this conversation, Zach, you're going to see on. Is it on Zoom tomorrow, you said?
Tomorrow, actually, is probably going to be in person.
Nice.
Unless somebody breaks out.
He's
going to
just have a very ominous looking cold cut sandwich on his desk when you walk in because of this conversation. I heard you talking about my hairline.
If he's eating, I'm taking a bite of whatever he's eating. That's the difference. I'm taking. Hey, Coach, that looks good.
Hey, Zach, thanks for being such a good sport while you were injured this year. Hopefully we can do it, run it back next year, and we can, ask you about pancaking guys and things like that. We'd really like
that. I know Zeiss might be listening too, so Zeiss, close your ears, but you guys are two of the best people I've ever worked with.
Thank you.
I enjoy the show.
All right.
I appreciate you guys.
Well, then,
thanks for having me.
In that vein, what does this sound like to you from Zeiss last night? Okay, ready?
Yes.
If you're not going to shoot for the Super Bowl next year, to me – what are you doing?
Do you hear that?
Yeah. Okay.
Can we break that down?
He needs to go make a movie.
Can we break that down for a second, Pony? Why, when he is opening that can of whatever it is,
beer,
why did he stop talking so that it would be even more magnified? Listen to it again. It was like he let a pause in there, so he was flexing.
If you're going to be – go ahead. Play it again.
Next year. To me – what are you doing?
There was a pause.
I think he got something on his hand, had to lick it off real quick.
Everybody out there, continue. We're just overwhelmed by everything that's gone on with Zach and his foundation, B3 Foundation. You can find it on Twitter. And there's a link on our website, 937thefan.com, to all the great stuff they do, including supporting our memorial fund, the scholarship in our son's name. So, Zach, thank you so much, and we'll definitely be in touch, okay?
Love you guys. Later.
Yep, right back at you. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, Route 19 South Hills, 29 degrees.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.